Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, I'll have a conversation with a couple of people in the food world I think you'll want to hear from. Gentlemen, let me introduce you separately so people can hear your voices. He is the former chef owner of Riel Restaurant and the current executive chef at State of Grace. Ryan LaShane, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, Eric. Thanks for having me.
He is the culinary director for Rocket Farm Restaurants, the Atlanta-based hospitality group that operates State of Grace, La Lucha, Super Rica, and Little Ray. Bobby Matos, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Ryan, let me start with you. You have not been on the podcast since you closed Riel in August. So just kind of explain to people kind of how you came to that decision that you weren't going to renew the lease after 10 years.
There's a lot of factors involved, you know, like obviously things aren't the best out there right now for small businesses and restaurants in general. You know, our lease was up at the end of the year and we had someone that, you know, kind of approached this that wanted to take over the lease. So we took advantage of it.
I mean, what was that last month like for you? Because I really feel like every chef, bartender, foodie, media person, whatever, like everybody made one or more than one last visit to Riel that month.
You know, it was nice knowing that, you know, that the thing we did there kind of made an impact and, you know, was a special place. So it's great seeing all those people come in. You know, it was a lot of work. I'm not gonna lie. It was a blur. It was like opening a new restaurant every day for 30 days straight because we were running out of food, running out of this, running out of that. But, you know, fortunately, you know, I had a great staff there that, you know, believed in what we were doing there. So everyone stayed on to the bitter end.
Yeah. The reason that I know you were busier than you normally had been is that you were not working the dining room. You were glued to the pass. I barely saw you and you did not come by with those little plastic paper medicine cups full of whiskey. So that's how I knew you were getting your butt kicked.
We were getting pushed around a little bit, but so I didn't have a lot of time to visit with everyone, you know, as much as I like, but you know, busy's good. Everyone, you know, had a good last month there. So I'm happy how it all went down.
And then, you know, obviously you could have done a lot of different things after Riel closed. How did you wind up at State of Grace?
Well, I knew they were looking for someone to, for an exec chef over there. And like I said in the past, I've known Bobby for a long time and I've known Ford for a while too. So, you know, I think it was an easier transitioning over there for me than maybe having to go somewhere that, you know, I'm starting with folks I don't know, you know, personally or and professionally kind of stuff. So it just made the transition, you know, a little bit easier knowing those guys.
Bobby, talk about it from your end, because I know, you know, Ryan said you've been looking for an executive chef. You've been looking for an executive chef for a while.
I mean,
several months, you know, and I would throw a name at you and you would basically just laugh at me. Right. Like, oh, this chef isn't working at so-and-so anymore. And you'd be like, nah, that guy's not going to work for me. What was it about Ryan that made him the right fit?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the eighth search and I wanted to find somebody who could fit well within the culture, could fit well with, you know, Ford Fry would like, obviously. But someone that would kind of hit the ground running and you know, has a following, obviously, but also has, I like Brian says, someone I've known for quite a while. And I think I always thought Riel and State of Grace early years, at least, were a pretty close concepts. So it just seemed like a natural fit once kind of, you know, the stars aligned, I guess.
Ryan, what's it been like for you? I mean, you know, Riel was... could be anything, right? I mean, that was the excitement of dining there, was that it could be Canadian, it could be Ukrainian, it could be American, it could be Asian, it could be anything. What's it been like for you working at State of Grace, which is pretty well grounded, especially for the last year in that kind of European continental mode?
I think it's interesting. It makes me, you know, think a little bit harder and and work on things that are part of now. You know, I just can't obviously, you know, do things on a whim and do whatever I want. I'm in more of a box. You know, there's a certain type of food that they produce there, and I have to, you know, keep doing that. So I, you know, honestly, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's something I haven't done in a long time. And there's, you know, there's things I have to do that I couldn't do at Real. And I think it's making it a lot more interesting, and I have to kind of work a little bit harder and think about harder if I want to, you know, do something that I can execute on that menu.
Yeah. Like, when was the last time you made French onion soup before you, started working at State of Grace?
Fuck, listen, Eric, I love French onion soup. Okay. There's two things: French onion soup and chicken parm. I don't care if I'm at an Italian restaurant or an Asian restaurant. If one of those two is on the menu, I'm getting it. Doesn't matter to me. I love French onion soup.
Well, let me just say, I'm glad to hear you say that, because my father, that was like his gold standard. And anytime he saw French onion soup on a menu, he was getting it. And it was basically how he would judge whether that restaurant was any good or not. So
I'm kind of guy.
Yeah. I'm glad that the State of Grace French onion soup is with someone who feels that way about it. Cause it's such a crazy comforting dish that rewards life.
And the soup there's good too. It's really, really good.
Yeah. What other dishes on the menu have you been kind of excited about that you get to do?
Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was just going to say, like, touching on what you asked, Ryan, Eric, I think State of Grace, like, in its early days, what I was kind of saying before, is very similar to Real. You know, we changed the menu often, and it was a neighborhood restaurant. It never had a cuisine type or a box to fit in. Now we have a little bit more of that, but I think over the last year, we've kind of realized that we want to be a little bit more of the old State of Grace still. So I'm kind of pushing Ryan that direction. And, you know, we're really kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, everyone knows Ryan's Canadian, right? Well, there's a lot of in Canada's French people. So the two kind of mesh together. And I think it's going to be fun as Ryan gets to keep evolving the menu and bringing it back to that neighborhood feel and about where we're going.
Well, yeah, say a little more about that, because obviously you guys made a hard pivot with State of Grace, you know, changed some stuff about the interior, changed the staff uniforms, you know, swapped out the menu, like very little of the old menu stayed on to the new menu. How has that gone for you over the last year, and kind of where is that balance between the old State of Grace and the new State of Grace?
Yeah, no, it's been a good transition, but, you know, as any restaurant that's been around for 10 years, there's always people, you know, wanting the classics, wanting the things that we opened up for. We had someone the other day that was literally upset that we didn't have that short rib dish we opened up with 10 years ago. I'm like, that thing hasn't been on the menu for, you know, 6-7 years now. So we, you know, we as a company with Rocket Farm, we really believe in change and kind of evolving, make everybody happy. You know, we want to be that restaurant that continues to grow and not be stuck in our ways per se. So it's a fine balance between the two.
Yeah. And Ryan, I mean, when I think of State of Grace, I think of that wood powered hearth, that like massive hulking stove, grill, oven, whatever. What's it been like for you to kind of get your hands on that and play around a little bit?
I think that thing is absolutely awesome. And, you know, when they brought me on, you know, kind of before we started, I probably have 50 different dishes and ideas that I wanted to, you know, throw on the menu and this and that. And then when I was going over, I'm like, dude, half of these fucking things come off that hearse. So I maybe should tone down what comes off that thing and maybe try to spread around the kitchen a little bit before I bury those two poor cooks that work that thing every night. But I'm excited to use it. I'm excited to do dinners. I think it's absolutely awesome. Something I haven't had the opportunity to use in Houston anyways.
Yeah, I got to say, you know, those chef's counter dinners where you watch those two guys work that thing.
They're dope.
It's like theater. It's, I mean, they are working hard. They are moving and they are sweating.
Yeah, they're hustling for sure.
Are you bringing that back? Is that the chef's table dinners that are so much fun where you get to sit at the hearth? Are those coming back?
They've been back for quite a while. We haven't made much fanfare out of it as we're kind of looking to, for our new chef. But now that Ryan's back, yeah, we do it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, yeah, come out. We let a lot of the cooks do most of the kind of creative process with Chef Ryan. But it's a fun experience.
Ryan, have you gotten to play around with that at all?
I have a little bit, not much. You know, I'm like, it's only been a month. And it's a big, you know, it's a big restaurant. It's a big kitchen. I haven't worked in a kitchen that big, you know, since Reef and Underbelly. So I'm still trying to get my, you know, my, my sea legs there and that kind of stuff. And for the most part, you know, I have, there's always, you know, it's a big place, lots of people, personalities. So there's always something kind of, I'll bump. And once I think I have it down, I have something new kind of comes my way, which is good. But, you know, eventually, you know, sooner or later, I like to put my head down and start really focusing on some of those guest chef, or if they want to be guest chef dinners or the chef table dinner kind of things.
And then what's it been like kind of getting to know the State of Grace regulars?
There's a lot more crossover than I thought there would be from Real, to tell you the truth. You know, there's a lot of people that that I've seen, you know, at Real every once in a while that I've talked to at lunch or even at dinner. You know, I think people that come to those places, whether it was Real or State of Grace or whatever, you know, they're a little bit more food forward than some other restaurants that people go to. So for the most part, you know, the couple of things that we've thrown on, people have you know, accepted them and liked them, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's not as hard as you know, everyone thinks it's going to be, in my opinion, anyways.
What are a couple of the things you put on the menu?
Well, you know, we threw the butter burgers on there, which, you know, I'm glad we did. I forget, the last month we always sold like until like 250 a night or something ridiculous. But, yeah. You know, a lot of people are coming over for those, number one. And number two, it's something that we can introduce to the regular crowd there, right? Like, you know, obviously some things have to come off for some things to go on. And the things that have gone on are gone off that, you know, we've said, hey, just let us, you know, let me try these, please, you know, give me a shot. And for the most part, we've had, you know, a lot of good feedback on that kind of stuff. Tots are on, you know, there's a couple other different things we're working on.
I noticed at Southern Smoke, you were serving poutine with the State of Grace French fries. You got to talk about those French fries, because they are my current pick for the best French fries in Houston.
Talk to Bobby about them. I'm still trying to figure out how they make those things at that.
Yeah, rate. Bobby, you got to talk about the French fries.
I'm there every day.
It's a process. our prep cook, we're blessed to have an amazing prep cook that didn't bat an eye when I told him we're gonna need 20 cases of French fries for Southern Smoke, because it's a long process of, you know, punching the potatoes out. Soaking them, then they get steamed, then they get frozen, then they get blanched in the fryer, then they get chilled, and then they get fried again for service. So it's quite a process. It takes a lot of space and time. And you know, State of Grace has never been one a restaurant with like a battery. It's not a La Lucha. We don't have like a battery of fryers. We have two small fryers built into our line, so it's kind of as much as we produce, and they, you know, luckily you keep them in the fryer till the day you're going to blanch them, and then they go in the cooler. So keep them in the freezer, not the fryer. So you got to have some freezer space. So luckily we have a fairly big walk-in freezer that we don't use for anything except pasta right now. So we have the space.
I mean, it's a 3-day process, and you know, frankly, at a time when like so many places serve frozen French fries, and you know, some of them can be pretty good.
There's good frozen French fries, no doubt.
Yeah,
but these are just different. They're creamy. They're glass. If they're perfect, they're glass like on the outside and creamy like mashed potatoes almost in the middle. And then yeah, you cover them in raclette, even better. We've even been kicking around the idea of doing that same dish at State of Grace with a little bit of that gravy, because that gravy really set the whole thing off. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's like such a bar menu. I mean, the poutine, like a happy hour with a beer. I mean, who says no to that?
Yeah, and a dozen oysters.
And four butterburgers. Yeah,
a dozen oysters, some poutine fries, some butterburgers, like a little bit of caviar if you want to go highbrow, you know?
And then, you know, the other thing that I think about with State of Grace, probably my favorite place for a seafood tower.
Love that.
Ryan, what's it been like for you to kind of get into that? I mean, you always did oysters, you always had a ceviche, but like really get into a restaurant with a raw program. You probably haven't done that since Reef.
No, I haven't, dude. And I like, you know, I did everything I thought I could to try to make like that, like do a seafood tower reality. This wouldn't work, you know, and I'm excited that at that place, like, I think that's the best. We have the coolest oyster bar in the city, hands down. It's fucking beautiful. That thing, right? Sit around there, you know, and crush a seafood tower and a bunch of oysters and maybe, you know, a glass of wine or two, I think is awesome. I love, you know, I'm a big, huge fan of seafood towers. Love them.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong with, like, you know, so Monday or every day from open to close or open to six, we do happy hour oysters. And I mean, oysters have gotten so expensive, but we're, you know, I think we have probably one of the best happy hour prices in the city at $1.50. And that's, you know, East Coast and generally farmed, like Alabama or anywhere up the Gulf, farmed oysters. So,
yeah, I mean, I remember the days of dollar oysters. That seems to be gone.
Yeah, that was the early State of Grace days. But now oysters cost $1.25.
Right. Yeah. I mean, where was I? I was somewhere recently. Oh, not that their pricing is so far out of line or whatever, but like a dozen oysters at the Marigold Club is like $50. And we were like, these are delicious as they fucking better be for $50, yeah. You know? But yeah, give me $1.50, you know, give me that $18 dozen. I'd be very happy.
There was an article recently. It talked about like why oysters can't have their like be priced like everything else. And it's just kind of, it kind of sucks that it's not that way, but the public doesn't seem to, you know, once you get over $3.50, $4 an oyster, it's, you know, my thing is, you know, now we run, I think, what do we run it, Brian? 8, 9 oysters or something at a time. We used to run 14 oysters, and it was like, I want to go through them as quick as possible. And like, you know, someone has two martinis while they're or eating a dozen oysters, like, it's a win in my book. So, you know, I would rather people just really enjoy and get, I'd rather do the volumes of oysters and, you know, it's a loss leader to get people to have a drink or, you know, have some fries and some burgers. So.
Well, as someone who likes, you know, a couple of cold martinis with my ice cold oysters, I'm willing to trade. I'll take the deal on the oysters and pay you back on the booze. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair trade. Works for me.
I'll take it.
Ryan, what are some of your plans for kind of putting your mark on the menu now that you've been there for a month?
You know, look, like I said earlier, Eric, I have a bunch of, you know, tons of these when I have tons of ideas and things, you know, and you know how it is. Usually you have all these ideas and maybe three cores and you can ixnay because you can't execute them properly. They don't work or, you know, whatever. So we're, you know, I'm slowly just trying to get my feet wet there and put one or two things in the menu. You know, we've done this kind of fried fish at lunch that's taken off. We're selling more than more. I think it's great. It's just it's like a beer battered halibut with, we made like beurre blanc out of, or made a tartar sauce out of beurre blanc. So just, you know, nice golden brown piece of fish on top of some tartar sauce that's made of beurre blanc. Delicious. You know, we've got the butter burgers on. I've got a couple more things next week that we're going to, maybe I'll throw your way tomorrow. You can try them out. But, you know, like I said, I'm still like, you know, getting used to the dynamics of everything there.
I've thrown a lot of, you know, back of the stuff you don't see at Ryan in the last month, from scheduling to P&Ls to, you know, all of the above, just the amount of computer systems that Ryan is probably not used to is overwhelming enough to to take up a month of his time. So it's, you know, the changes are coming for sure, but, you know, we're walking into them as well. We want to make sure we put, you know, things on that, you know, our clients are happy about, that we're happy about. We're not going to just, you know, plop things on, Yeah, so we're taking it slow. But you know, we've kind of gotten through these first couple weeks of all that, you know, stuff that no one knows the chef has to deal with. and now it's time to start having fun and playing with the food.
Well, and Ryan, just the one other thing is, you know, when you're the owner, the buck stops with you, right? Like if the toilet backs up or the roof leaks or whatever, and now you know, just talk about being able to kind of put some of that aside and really just focusing on only being a chef.
Well, you know, it's obviously a load off my back. You know, I'm not used to really having this much support, you know, with things. I also think it's a good thing that I understand that, you know, like how you can, as a, you know, owner operator, that there's things you can take care of without, you know, having to call someone or even knowing how expensive things are and how things actually really work than just someone come in there and saying, well, you know what, you know, I work for this restaurant group here and fuck these guys. They should just be able to take care of everything for me. You know, no, you look into things and like, how can we deal with this without spending a ton of cash? Cause I don't, you know, I don't want to be that guy, nor do I want anyone for me working like that. That just like, hey, this is busted or we need, this is new. Like you can do a lot of stuff with what you have there. But like I said, at the end of the day, I sleep a lot better at night knowing I can call Bobby Matos if shit really goes down there and and there's, you know, support behind me to take care of it that are like, you know, ready to do it right away and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a load off my back where I can focus, you know, on other things, even the things Bobby was talking about, like the lot of stuff I didn't have to do at Real I'm doing there. I can focus on that and not have to worry about these other, you know, things that happen out, you know, to the restaurant or outside the restaurant that, you know, it's, you know, the support's awesome.
And there's been numerous times, Eric, I've already been like, hey, Ryan, sorry if I'm micromanaging the crap out of you, but like, this is how we do this. It's a learning curve for both of us. You know, I, my old chef there at State of Grace started with me day one with the company when we opened the restaurant. So it was, you know, I didn't have to, you know, teach him a lot of these things, but it's, so I'm learning as well, which is fun. But learning how to be a teacher and not a doer.
Well, and I mean, I think it's impressive that you've been part of this restaurant group for 10 years. I mean, I can't really think of many chefs with that kind of longevity at any restaurant in town. And, you know, Ryan, I'm certainly not going to ask you if you're thinking about what's next for you when you've only had this current job for like 6 weeks, but, you know, as you're kind of evaluating, like whether this was the right decision or not, I mean, I personally find that kind of stability really appealing.
It better well be the right decision.
Yeah, you know, the stability is awesome, you know.
Answer correctly here, Ryan.
Yeah, I know, don't worry. I got my attorney sitting beside me here right now. The stability is great. Like, I'm not getting any younger, obviously, and times are tough out there, right? Like, we're seeing guys, you know, guys go down, you know, literally daily. But, you know, that being said, there's a lot of places I could have gone and got stability in that. And I like Bobby and I like Ford and I like the restaurant. It's 5 minutes down the street from where I'm used to. I'm, you know, selfishly very comfortable around here cooking. You know, I've always been in Montrose or you know, kind of midtown when I was at Reef. So it was just like, you know, in my opinion for myself, it couldn't have worked out any better. You know, like there wasn't a lot of adjustments with my personal life or like when I have my kids and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it worked out great. I'm happy. I'm super happy.
And then Bobby, let me just shift gears. I know you guys made some changes recently at Superica. So you want to talk about just a little bit about kind of how you refreshed what you're doing there?
Yeah, so, you know, Superica, we have, God, I don't know if I can count how many, I think 10, 12 Supericas, something like that, across the, you know, lower part of the country. And we've been slowly changing. We started with a Superica almost a year ago in Atlanta, And, you know, we just wanted to make a simpler, you know, honestly, it all went back to like a labor model, like selfishly, like Tex-Mex, when you do Tex-Mex, anyone who operates a Tex-Mex restaurant understands this. It doesn't seem like this from a customer perspective, but anybody who operates a Tex-Mex restaurant understands how much labor goes into it. Because if you're operating a good Tex-Mex restaurant, there's everything's made fresh daily. You know, your guac's made fresh, your queso's made fresh, all that, all your cheese is grinded. You're not buying, you know, opening a bag full of shredded cheese, et cetera, et cetera. Your picos, your salsas.
Tortillas are the big one for sure.
Tortillas are made fresh daily. Tons of work. And so we wanted to, we also saw that, like, you know, we have this big menu and, you know, really what people are eating is enchiladas and fajitas, right? So, in the, you know, 90% of everything, you know, they're eating enchiladas, frozen margaritas, margaritas on the ice or on the rocks, and fajitas. And so we, you know, Ford went into it and looked and said, you know, what are the things that people need for Tex-Mex? And then let's make them, let's refine them a little bit. And that's what we did. So we kind of actually, we made a smaller menu. We really went back to like old school, like enchilada plating where like the whole plate's covered in sauce. Because that's the best part of it, right? You know, we took the rice and beans and put them on the side, and they're like all you can eat. Like, if you want more rice and beans, cool, we'll go get you more rice and beans. You know, we haven't had really any pushback, and I'm honestly surprised. But we took away charro beans. We just run in refried beans. Just making things simpler and kind of to fit in this day and age of, you know, price increases across the board for food and price increases on labor. So it makes sense. It's faster. It's quicker. People really enjoy that. Your enchilada is just a plate of two enchiladas with sauce, and your rice and beans come on the side. You could put it on there if you want. You can eat it off out of the bowl if you want. Your fajitas are just what you want about them. You know, meat, onions, and your fixins on the side with some really good, you know, focus on flour tortillas. We, you know, back in the day, you know, we were getting, you know, as restaurants and Tex-Mex places get bigger, you know, the tortillas start getting pre-cooked ahead of time, and they're, you know, they're held in, you know, warm for, you know, 10, 15 minutes till they're served. And we cook all of our tortillas now to order. And it makes a huge difference. And, you know, just things like that. So we wanted to make it a little bit more approachable, a little simpler of a menu, less labor, less food, food costs. So we can in turn, you know, pass that along to our customers. It's been great so far. We got really great feedback from it, and you know, we kept pancakes at brunch, obviously.
There would be riots if you didn't. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, yeah, so it's been a fun experience. We look forward to it keep growing.
And then it feels like Little Ray is really finding its audience. Like it feels like it took like maybe 6 months or so for people to kind of figure that place out, but now that they have, they just descend on it with all of their children.
Eric, it's been over a year, if you believe it. I sometimes thought, like, how has this place been open for over a year? I showed up. I had to go drop my son off the other day at swim at like 5 something. I dropped him off early, and I came back, rushed back to Little Ray thinking, yeah, I'll be busy. I'll help him out a little bit. But holy hell, it was just crushed with, you know, multiple entire football and kids soccer teams. And, you know, there's a, you know, an 18 top of 4 different families with their babies throwing food all over the patio. You know, I'm out there being a waiter of all things, which is never a good sign. but more like picking up trash. I was a busboy. It's people are really, you know, it's hidden back there. So we've always had a visibility problem. We're hoping in the next couple of months, we're actually getting a sign on Westheimer, which is going to be, you know, groundbreaking. We're excited about, but it's people, you know, as they've slowly found it, they come back and they come back and they come back. And you know, every single table I talked to that night, it was like, man, we love this place. Our kids are so happy to be here. They get their ice cream after they eat half of their quesadilla and pretend like they're full, but then they still want their ice cream. You know, and they're running around in the fields out there. It's really caught on, and it continues to grow. We're doing a ton of breakfast taco caterings. I feel like is every single morning. We're putting out 200 to 300, 400 breakfast tacos a morning to caterings. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, I was in recently and had the Ryan Pera's mushroom taco, the taco of the month.
So good.
So good.
Yeah, I didn't have it till I think I posted a picture of it. Like it was only like 3 or 4 days ago, and I was like, I got to try this. And you know, I really like mushrooms. I'm not like I would never order that taco myself. Like before I had it, and I ate that taco, and it blew my mind. It's like tempura fried, then dusted with a little porcini powder, oyster mushrooms, and then there's pickled enoki mushrooms and like a salsa verde and a porcini mayonnaise. Dude, it blew my mind away.
He's the best cook out of all of us, hands down, that guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And still grinding away every day. Oh, like, dude, I give him mad props for that.
If there's something, I don't know, I'll call Ryan Pera. Like if there's like, man, how the hell do I do this shit? Pera will know.
Yep.
Well, and I popped into Cultivare a couple of weeks ago on like a Wednesday, and there he was on the line just hanging out
every day.
You know, like, you know, I got this very awkward, you know, I get the occasional crazy DM, and this guy was like, you know, why don't we talk about Ryan Pera anymore? And it's like, no, like everybody loves Cultivare. Ryan's fine. He's still there. You can go see him.
Rightfully so.
It's not like, yeah, they didn't get in the Michelin guide or whatever. And that's, I don't understand that at all, but like, it's still good. Like just cause you don't hear, like, just cause he's not like, you know, smiling next to Sean, the food chief on a video or something. It's like, it doesn't mean that it's not like still good or not still worth talking about. Like it's still delicious.
A funny, a tie in there is, so, you know, Leonora, the, who's the GM there, correct?
Yes.
Her husband is Anthony, who's the chef at Little Ray.
Yes.
So yeah. It's a kind of full circle moment.
All right, gentlemen. I mean, we've rambled on for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. So anything else before we wrap this up?
No, we're just like, come check out Ryan at State of Grace. He's going to, you know, we're doing cool things, and it's going to be a really fun time having him there. We're really excited he's there. So.
Ryan, last word goes to you.
That's it, man. Come by and see me there. We got some new stuff working. Yeah, love to see you guys. I'm in the back. You have to ask for me now. You can't just yell at me.
Yeah, come sit at the chef's counter. Then you can bug them all you want.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right, Bobby, give us the website and the social media for State of Grace.
You think I know this? I don't know. Stateofgracetexas.com, maybe?
I don't know. That's a random guess.
Stateofgracetx.com. On Instagram. Come on.
At State of Grace.
State of Grace TX. There you go.
Yeah. See, I knew it.
Yeah, close enough. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, Eric. Thanks for having us.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.